Morning, as Inspector Clouseau would say. It's very nice to be with you. And if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to John chapter 12. I don't know whether there is a church Bible here, or is there? No. But if you haven't got one, oh, it's behind us anyway. I was just going to say perhaps you could yell out the page reference. So it's good to have the Bible passage open if you can. And then if I tail off, you've got something to look at and meditate upon. So this is John chapter 12, and beginning to read at verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard or perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, the keeper of the money bag, and he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of his name, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. Now, I don't know whether you're familiar with Alice in Wonderland, or perhaps you're planning to see the latest film in the series, but when Alice went to Wonderland, she gets to meet the ugly Duchess, who lives in a small palace just near the caterpillar's forest. And when Alice meets her, the Duchess introduces her to her child, a little boy, and she advocates beating him whenever he sneezes. And she has this little song. Speak roughly to your little boy and beat him when he sneezes. He only does it to annoy because he knows it teases. So she was not a very affirming or sensitive or kind mother. One message I think is quite clear from her words, that bless you was an affirmation with which she was not familiar. And yet affirmation, which is building people up, firming, I suppose, people up, especially those who are near and dear to us, is a vital and important thing. We, all of us, from the cradle to the grave, need affirmation. And the lack of affirmation and encouragement from people, it starves us emotionally, and it makes us people who are withdrawn and lacking in confidence. I'm sure you will have heard of King George VI, who was brutalized by his father, George V. And George V said, my father, Edward VIII, made my life a hell, and I'm going to make sure that I make my son's life a hell. And he bullied poor George VI, and as you know, he grew up with a stutter and was very unconfident in life. And as I was reflecting on these things, it reminded me of a long-standing friend I have who went to Cambridge University. And he got a very good upper second class degree. And in fact, he was so close to getting a first class degree, they gave him an oral examination. Unfortunately, he wasn't successful, but he'd still done incredibly well. And yet his parents, all they could say, instead of, Nigel, you've done so well, it was another Nigel, you've done so well, all they could go on about was, oh, such a pity you didn't get that first. Such a pity you didn't make it. Only if you tried that little bit harder. And they were so ungrateful. And the result of that was that Nigel became one of those people who spent the rest of his life, and probably is still doing it, trying to prove to his parents and prove to the world that actually he is a good person, a really fine, able person. And in fact, he suffered a rather bad breakdown when he was working at Eagle Star. So we need affirmation. And the word affirmation comes from the Latin word firmus, which means strength. So to affirm someone is to make them stronger by our words, or perhaps by our loving actions, or maybe by a gesture of appropriate touch. If no one affirms us in our lives, especially when we're young, it undermines our confidence, and that means that we're not really at ease with ourselves, and we're not confident when we're going into public situations. If we haven't been affirmed and told we're special, then we have a low self-image, and we feel quite often bad about ourselves, and we think perhaps we haven't got anything really to offer other people. And lack of affirmation when we're children can result in a perfectionist trait. Because nobody told us we were good at anything, then we grow up thinking that we aren't good enough. And sometimes that means that we go into a reverse mode, and everything that we have to do, we do it to perfection. Because we've been told we're no good, so we have to justify ourselves by being perfectionists. Children who lack affirmation from parents sometimes show off or engage in silly behaviour, or later on in football hooligans or something more violent, because they've lacked the attention and affirmation which they should have had when they're younger. Now, hopefully, you've got the idea. This is going to be a message about the importance of affirmation. And so, in John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, which we've just read, Jesus is right at the end of his ministry. In fact, verse 1 of the chapter says that it was just 6 days before the Passover time when he was going to go to the cross and die on behalf of the whole world in order that we might obtain forgiveness. And so Jesus is very fearful, he's very anxious. And what does he do? He goes out to the home of Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Lazarus, of course, is the man whom he's just raised from death to life. And while they were there, they prepared a supper for him. And while they were sitting at the table, Mary took this half pint of very precious perfume, worth about a year's wages, and she poured it on Jesus' feet. And we're told here that she wiped his feet with her hair. And John says the whole room was filled with this wonderful fragrance. Unfortunately, Judas Iscariot was there to spoil the party and started to grumble about how the money could have been given to the poor. And, of course, we know from John's comment that he wasn't really interested in the poor anyway because he was a thief and taking things from the communal bag. So, Jesus told Mary that what she had done was a very beautiful thing. In this moment of total darkness, when he was apprehensive and fear, Jesus was affirmed by Mary. And I think, as we look at this story very briefly, we can see some of the ways in which we can help to affirm one another. It comes out very strongly in this story. And I think the first thing we could say is that we need to affirm with words. Now, interestingly enough, when Jesus was born, he was taken into the arms of Simeon, who affirmed him with some beautiful words. When he began his ministry, he was baptized, and he heard his father's affirming words, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." He heard the father's words of affirmation. And now, right at the end of his ministry, when he was facing the most important moment in his life, he needed words of affirmation. Now, it doesn't actually say that Mary spoke to him, but I can't believe that she wouldn't have done. They were such close friends, and we learn earlier in the Gospel of John that Mary sat at his feet and talked with him and listened to all that he had to say to her. So if Jesus needed affirming with words, how much more we do? He was affirmed at his birth and his baptism and at other times. And perhaps it's true to say that there's no greater power than the words that we speak to one another. I read a piece of research and it said, if you say something unkind or something negative to somebody close to you, it takes 30 positive affirmations to get that person back to the same emotional level and the same relationship with you. So we have to be very careful about what we say to each other. Two people, Gary Smalley and John Trent, wrote a book entitled The Blessing, and it says this in one paragraph: during the years that we have children in our home, the words we speak to them can wrap around them like a deep cocoon. What we say shapes and develops their thoughts and their thinking patterns. Loving words that picture a special future help children to develop in a positive way. Now, John Wesley is somebody who I'm very interested in, being largely a historian, is a perfect example of this. He was one of 19 children who was born to Samuel and Susanna Wesley. He had three boys and 16 girls. Could you imagine what the house was like? But the amazing thing was that John, when he was just 2 years old, was rescued from a fire which took place in the rectory. And it was a dramatic affair, and eventually little John was up in the roof looking through a window in the roof, and eventually several men stood on each other's shoulders and they were able to get him down and rescue him. And thereafterwards, his mother, Susanna, believed that he was a unique child that had been mercifully spared by God for this special occasion. And she used to pay more particular attention to John. She often sat him on her lap and she told him she believed that God had a destiny for him to fulfill. Just her words instilled in him. And she used to quote to him a verse from Zechariah: "You're a brand plucked from the burning." And in later lives, when John Wesley became famous, he used to have little portraits of himself printed, and underneath were the words, "Is not this a brand plucked from the burning?" The power of words had a dramatic effect on Wesley. And later on, of course, Wesley became an amazing preacher. And it is said that his preaching changed so many people's lives in this country in the 18th century that it saved England from a bloody revolution such as had just taken place in France. There is such power in our words. Now, many of us perhaps don't have children, but we might have grandchildren. Anne and I have 12. And we can do what we can to affirm them and encourage them. And if we don't have any grandchildren, well, maybe we could participate in messy church. There's nothing like messy grandparents helping the kids in messy church. So many parents, I think, have good thoughts about their children. And we have perhaps good thoughts about our grandchildren. But we need to tell them that they are wonderful. We need to tell them that they are doing well. We need to say, "Damien, you look great. Philip, you did so well. Gemma, you look so beautiful tonight." We might think it, but it's so important that we hear it. And probably the two most affirming words that we can ever say to anyone are, "Well done, that's pretty good. It's better than mine." I was going to say, "Thank you." Because the word "thank you" in Greek is eucharisto, and it's almost the same word as grace, which is charis. So you've got eucharisto, to be thankful, and charis, grace. And so when we thank someone, we're really bringing God's grace and pleasure upon them. We are affirming them. So words are very important. And then secondly, we learn from this story that appropriate touch is also a very great help in affirming people. If you look at verse 3 again, it says that Mary poured this very expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and then wiped his feet with her hair. His touch, I'm sure, was appropriate. It wasn't sexual. It wasn't over the top. And probably Jesus hadn't known much affection. His family weren't altogether supportive, and often he was alone in the wilderness praying, and he needed affection in his humanity. And Mary's wiping his feet, appropriate touch, was something beautiful. Jesus said, "This is something beautiful. You have prepared me for my burial." She has done a beautiful thing. Mother Teresa of Calcutta understood the importance of appropriate touch as she would hold the dying in Calcutta in her arms as they died in the gutters of the city. And we affirm people as we do appropriate touch, but especially as we do it in prayerful ways. I believe if we just shake somebody's hands, and really as we're shaking them, are praying God's blessing into them, we could actually transform their lives. C.S. Lewis wrote, though our feelings come and go, God's love for us doesn't. And if we are doing an appropriate gesture, like really warming, shaking somebody's hand or putting an arm on their shoulder, it can be a way of blessing them. I'm sure you remember how in Mark chapter 14, Jesus, the disciples brought little children to Jesus, and it says he touched them, he put his hands upon them and blessed them. He understood the importance of appropriate and sensitive touch. So a handshake or a hug can be a very comforting thing. Years ago, I used to go to a little place called Guiting Power. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but there was a small Christian group there, and there didn't seem to be any Christian church. And so I went out there, and there was a sort of weekly or fortnightly Bible study. And there was one lady who used to come to those groups. I don't know where she went to church, but she said, I look forward to Sunday church so much every week, because at the Eucharist we have the peace, and it's the only time in the week anyone ever gives me a hug. And sometimes we just need that affirmation. I came across two studies which illustrated the importance of touch. And it was a study that was done in a hospital ward, two hospital wards. And in one hospital ward, all those who were being treated were affirmed by the nursing staff with appropriate touch. And the others in the opposite ward, I think they all had, they were both cancer wards. In the other ward where there was no appropriate touch, the people got better much, much more slowly. And so touch has an important healing aspect to it. A study was made of 7,000 women in America who had worked in strip joints and topless bars, and it revealed that most of them had never received any affection whatsoever from their fathers and were probably looking for attention in consequence. So sensitive touch, appropriate touch, is another way in which we can affirm one another. And then we can also do it by means of sensitive acts of service. And if you look at this little passage with this lovely cameo of Jesus in the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, you'll see the first thing they did was that they prepared a meal. And presumably that was Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And to provide a meal is a wonderful way of affirming and encouraging someone. Because when we're inviting someone into our house, we're also sharing something of ourselves. We're showing that these people, you matter to me. That's why you're in my house. That's why I am feeding you. And of course, if you look at verse 1, that Jesus' suffering and death was just 6 days away. And if Jesus needed these loving acts of service, these gentle ministries, then how much more in ourselves when we're in difficult or situations of doubt or worry or anxiety or bereavement, or indeed at any time, we need affirmation. And perhaps the greatest service that we can give to one another is just to listen to them, perhaps with undivided attention, without interrupting, without trying to fix it for them, but just to listen. It's giving ourselves to a person, and that's a very important thing. But our acts of loving service could be a whole range of things. It could be helping someone with a job. It could be helping out at work. It could be visiting a person in hospital. It might be cooking meals for someone who has been bereaved. It could be giving hospitality to somebody who's alone. It could be reading a book to someone whose eyesight is fading. But we are called to love our neighbour. And that means we have to incarnate that love in a practical way. There are two other means which I could just mention briefly in closing if we want to affirm others. And one is by appropriate gifts or personal gifts. And Mary made this gesture of loving service with this amazing gift of very expensive perfume with which she anointed Jesus' feet. She gave him something really precious, and what could be more affirming than that? And although Judas complained that it was a great expense and could have been the equivalent of a year's wages, I think it illustrates in that statement just what a precious gift it was. It was worth a year's wages. We don't, of course, need to give costly gifts, just something that's appropriate. When I left the University of Gloucestershire, after lecturing for 30 years, my colleagues made a great party for me, and they gave me a Thomas the Tank Engine bag with £100 in it. I have a quirky interest in trains, so that's where it was perhaps appropriate. But the gift of flowers, chocolate, wine, something for the garden, something homemade, chutney, anything like that is a gesture, isn't it? It's a loving gesture which affirms the other person. And I suppose, finally, we could say perhaps one of the greatest gifts we can give to people is quality time. And that's what people really need to be affirmed. They need something of our time. Someone has said the most precious gift that we have on this earth to give away is our time. We none of us know how much of it there is we have left, but while we have it, we must use it as we feel God prompting us to do. A wise philosopher once said, you can't find time, you have to make it. And that's absolutely true. It's sometimes said, if you want a job done, find a busy person. But we do need, from time to time, have to give ourselves to others. One of the wonderful things about Jesus was that he affirmed people by giving them time. Think about the woman at the well when Jesus was hot and tired in Samaria. Jesus passed the time of day talking with her and getting to her deepest needs. Or think about Zacchaeus, or people like Simon the leper, who Jesus spent time with. To give someone our undivided attention is to give them something of ourselves. It's a precious way to affirm them. So today's message for us this morning is that we need to affirm one another. You need to affirm each other in this congregation. Say nice things to each other, build one another. We also need to reach out and affirm everyone we meet. Try to encourage them. We're told in 1 Corinthians 14 that we need to speak prophetically. And to prophesy in our speech is to say words which encourage, which build up, which comfort and console. Read it, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3. Now, it might just be that some of us find it hard to speak words of affirmation or to affirm others, and that might be because we're in a hard place ourselves, or it might be that we've grown up and nobody's really bothered to affirm us and we feel a bit battered and bruised. But I want to say this, I really believe, if that's how we are or that's what we've come through, I believe, and I'm sure you do, that this is where the Christian gospel comes in, because we are told that as we entrust our lives to Jesus, his Spirit comes into us. And the more we walk with him, the more we seek him, the more his Spirit comes into us. And that Spirit presence of Jesus in us releases the love of God. Paul talks, doesn't he, about it. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And that's probably the greatest affirmation. If Jesus is really pleased with us and loves us and values us, and that is what the gospel is all about, then we ought to be valuing ourselves, and we ought to be valuing other people. The presence of Jesus is a healing presence. Isn't that good?
Very
good. Let's just sit quiet for a moment, shall we? And we'll just think a little bit about this story. And if we're feeling this morning we're in a bit of a rough spot or in a hard place, let's just remind ourselves of the Lord's presence. He's standing here, not in the body, but in the Spirit. He is present here. And I'm sure his hands are outstretched, wanting to bless us with his presence and affirm us with his presence. So, Jesus, we are so grateful just for the reminder that in your humanity you needed the affirmation, human affirmation, and the affirmation of the Spirit of God through that human affirmation. So Jesus, as we're sat here, we just invite you to send the affirming presence of your Spirit upon us and into us in a new way. So let's just sit quiet for a moment and receive the loving, affirming presence of Jesus. come, Spirit of Jesus, and bring the affirmation that we need in our own lives. And if there are people who are close to us or crossing our paths who need affirmation, we pray for your help that we may be able to minister to them and demonstrate your love for them. And all of that is a wondrous story, which we're going to sing about at this moment, after which I shall say a final prayer.